Amen. Thank you, Ryan, for the prayer. Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Darius Hubbard. I'm one of the pastors here at Antioch. If we haven't met, I would love to do so. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a short series talking about persevering and persistence in the life of believers. Today, we'll be looking at that call when it comes to prayer. And be honest, everyone be honest. Raise your hand if you have the ability to be, or have if you ever been called stubborn before. Moose, raise your hand. A lot of y'all are stubborn. Me, who said that? Webster defines being stubborn as having or showing a dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something. Typically, when people call you stubborn, they don't say it in a good way. I mean, you're just a great worker. You're so stubborn. But how many of us know that the Bible calls us to be stubborn when it comes to prayer? Telling us to persevere and persist in it despite circumstances. Now, we got to get to what does it mean to be, to persevere and persist. Webster Dictionary defines perseverance as to persist in a state of or enterprise or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. It defines persistence as to take a stand firm, to go on resolutely, or stubbornly despite opposition, demand, or warning. Perseverance and persistence in prayer, as we look at scriptures, and hopefully they'll come out today, should be a staple in the everyday life of believers. I love the story that Pastor Pactor shared 2 weeks ago about his grandpa and how everybody known him for his life of prayer. A stubborn prayer life for the believer should be evident in good times and in times where we're desperate for God and where we look at a situation, we say, God, where are you and what are you doing? Persevering and persistence in prayer keeps us connected to God, and it gives us the spiritual and mental and emotional endurance to bear what we face. Now, there's many forms of prayer, and we learned about some of that through our prayer series. We learned about the prayer of lament and how that's helpful in times of grieving, and it helps to promote healing and restoration. But according to an analysis of more than 40 studies, spiritual practices such as prayer can reduce stress and anxiety. And according to a study published in the Journal of Health Psychology, spirituality and the frequency of prayer have been tied to the lower of cortisol levels. Now, if you don't know much of cortisol and what it does for the body, it's the main stress hormone. It helps us to work with certain parts of the body. It controls mood, motivation, and fear. We have an adrenal gland. It's a triangle-shaped gland above our adrenal organ, and it's shaped a triangle shape above the kidneys, and it makes cortisol. It plays an important role in a number of other things in the body through what is called cortisol receptors, and they're basically in every cell of the body, and they help to manage how our body uses carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Keeps inflammation down. Could you work for me? Regulates our blood pressure, increase our blood sugar or glucose, controls our sleep and wake cycle, helps with memory formulation. It gives energy boosts when dealing with stress and restores the balance afterwards. When our body is on high alert, cortisol can even alter or shut down functions that are not needed, such as digestion, reproduction, immune, or even growth processes. Too much cortisol can harm the body and cause several unwanted or unpleasant symptoms. So relating to prayer can literally affect our physical health for the better. I think that means that the Big Bang knew what it was doing when it created us. Sarcasm, if you didn't know what that was. But honestly, like, it's encouraging to know that our prayers of aid to this God of creation that's all power and that's able to aid and respond us Just going to him in prayer reduces our stress and anxiety. He designed us the way that even just going to him in prayer aids us. So we're going to look at some passage today and see where we are called to persevere and persist in prayer. But before we do that, I just said a whole bunch of stuff and none of us is going to remember. So let's just pray before we jump into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look in your word, Lord, and how you call us to go to you in prayer and persist in that. I ask that you decrease me, allow your anointing to flow through, Lord, that someone may hear from you, Lord, and it calls us to leave this place not the same way that we came. I ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So hopefully at the end of this, we all will see the importance of having the attitude or position of persevering and persisting in prayer, how it is vital to our life and relationship with God. Now, the first scripture we'll be looking at is found in the letter to Ephesians. The letter to Ephesians, the language in Ephesians has sometimes been described as both describing praise God for the work he has done in Christ Jesus, and also prayer to God for the work that needs to be done in the church. Is written by Paul to offer general instructions in truth of God's redemption in the work of Christ, unity of the church among diverse people, and proper conduct in the church, in the home, and in the world. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, the Greek word used for perseverance here is proskarteres. This is a real word found only in this verse, and it means a unique or undying persistence and a special continuant, one that is made possible by the Spirit of God. A commentator says the idea here is prayer upon prayer. We should use every kind of prayer we can think of: group prayer, individual prayer, silent prayer, shouting prayer, walking prayer, kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent prayer, just pray. There are some unique words used here in this verse. For instance, praying at all times is one word, and it means opportune moments. And the word in the Spirit has a unique meaning, and it's the efficient source of any power, knowing, affection, emotion, desire, deciding, or acting. So if we were to use these unique meanings here in basic language, this scripture would be saying, at every opportune moment, when you are nudged by the Spirit, who is the efficient source of any power, knowing, emotion, desire, deciding, and acting, place something on your mind or heart, stop and pray to God. Also be sure to be attentively devoted, because perseverance, devoted to praying for your brothers and sisters in the faith. We see a similar Greek word used to call persistence in prayer in our next passages, in Romans and Colossians. And a little bit about Romans and Colossians. Romans was written by Paul to unite Jewish and Gentile Christians in the gospel. Paul wrote Colossians to warn against false teaching and to encourage the believers in their growth in Christian maturity. In these two passages, we see a call to persevere and persist in prayer. Romans and Colossians says this about persistence in prayer. Romans 12 and 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4 and 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, the words used here in these two verses for persistence is proskarterio, and it means to be devoted or constant to one or to a thing, to give unrelenting care to something. And we as sinful people, sometimes we give unrelenting care and our care and devotion to all the wrong things or unhealthy things at times. But what would happen if we gave unrelenting care to prayer? A commentator by the name of Vaughn tells us this of the ancient Greek word translated continue. Continue is built on a root meaning, to be strong, always implied by meaning earnest adherence to a person or thing. In this passage, it implies persistence or fervor. The point for the church here in Colossians and Romans is the same point that we have now for us. With attentiveness to prayer for life and ministry, we will continue to thrive. But it will take hard work and continued dedication to prayer from each of us as individuals, as a church. We can't take going to God in prayer too lightly. Prayer must be a vital part of the church and believers' lives. We see examples and results of this through the church living out this persistence word, being devoted to God. They share the gospel with each other. They're devoted to unity, to serving one another, to being persistent and persevering in prayer. Let's look at some of these examples and results. So it should be show you example and result in these texts in the slide. So example, Acts 1 and 14. All of these with one accord were devoted themselves to prayer together with all the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Skip down to 26. We see the result. Matthias, and he was numbered, which means to be voted one in place among, with the 11 apostles. Another example, Acts 2 and 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. 43, we see the result. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Acts 2 and 46, we see an example. And day by day, attending to the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. 47, we see the result. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Acts 6 and 4, the example. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. 5-7, we see the example of what the result of what happened. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. In Jerusalem, a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So we see here, as the disciples focused on God's priorities, such as prayer, God gave them everything they needed to care for one another. And God not only grew the leadership of the church, but we see the church growing as well. The congregation grew. The believers grew. In the midst of the struggles we've been facing the last year, we have families leaving, financial struggles, closure of classrooms. God is watching to see how we will continue to be devoted, giving unrelenting care to him, these people we call family here at Antioch, the mission he has given this local body. We must persevere and persist in prayer despite circumstances, because as we do so, through what we see in the scriptures, we will reap the reward the Lord has for us, not only in this life, but the life to come. Amen, Antioch? The third scripture we see a call to persevere and persist in prayer is in the letter to Thessalonians, the first letter of Thessalonians. Paul received a report from Timothy about the Thessalonian church, and Paul wrote to them to restore their hope, which would have been tested by unexpected deaths in the church. Paul gives his final instructions to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6-18. And he encouraged the church by saying this: rejoice always. 16, 17, praying continually. 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the Greek word in this verse for praying continually or always, which means praying always, is adiolitos, meaning without intermission, incessantly, without ceasing. The main idea is that Christians are to pray continually. I love a commentator named by David Gutzik. He says this regarding 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We cannot bow our heads, close our eyes, and fold our arms without ceasing. But those are customs of prayer, not prayer itself. Prayer is communication with God, and we can live each minute of the day in a constant flowing conversation with God. So what does that mean for us? That means that we should take heart and be encouraged that we can take every moment of the day to have a conversation with God. We should be persistent about sharing what's on our heart and our mind in an unceasing fashion. We can do that. We complain to people all day, every day. I think we can complain and tell God what's going on with us. And that should give us joy, because we can take heart that the Bible tells us everywhere he longs to hear from us. It's actually worship to him to hear the cries of his people. So crying out to God moment by moment, telling him what's on our heart and our mind, it's worship to him, and it benefits us in more than one way. The fourth and final way we see this call to persevere and persist in prayer is in Luke 18. Now, the purpose of Luke was to show that the gospel is for all people, whether Jew or Gentile. Since Jesus, the promised one, God, as a promised one of God in the Old Testament, is seen in the New Testament offering his life for the saving plan of God through Jesus' sinless life, death, and resurrection. And by believing in him as the Son of God, one can be saved and receive this promised spirit that he promised to give all those who follow him. Now, in chapter 18, we find Jesus telling a story and a parable about persisting in prayer. And verse 1 sums up, it's like a spoiler alert. It just tells you what the whole text was about, so you don't even have to read it anymore. But no, still read it. But it's verse 1 sums up the whole point of the story. It says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, this message that is, it's like an intermission, the message that's preached about Jesus being this one and only Savior, and we place our faith in him, that was preached long ago, is still being preached today. We all share this, and that's why we hear it as a family of believers. Jesus is available today just as well as much as it's true he was available then. We find it by any of us who place our faith in him. And if you haven't done so, don't wait. He is still the truth, the way, and the life, even amongst our struggles. And he wants to give all of us new life in him through us placing our faith in him. Now, being created beings, the Bible tells us we have this imago Dei, or image of God. So being, and it tells us that God is one who is spirit. And so being created beings in the image of one who is spirit, it should make us have this innate spiritual nature that makes prayer and communication with God easy. But Romans 1 tells us that due to sin, we tend to seek out, worship, commune with everything except God. And due to this wandering, when obstacle comes our way, and if you ain't long enough, ask Moose, he'll tell you, just live a little bit, they will come. None of us is shielded from obstacles in life. But because we're worshiping and seeking out to commune with everything but God, we panic, we lose trust, we question him, or worse, we end up blaming God for the struggles we're going through. But it makes sense why we do this, because we place our hope in false gods and idols. Psalms 115, 4 through 8 tells us the worth of these idols. It says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouth but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel. They have hands but do not feel. They have feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, and so do all who put their trust in him. No wonder we lose heart when struggles come our way. If we're trusting in these things, but what it would look like if we lived a life that trusted in God, giving unrelenting care to a God who is everything but what this is. If we can take this scripture and reverse it when we put that up against God. That means when life unexpectedness comes our way, they won't overtake us or discourage us, because the opposite is true about this one who we call Jesus Christ, who we place our faith in and our hope in. We can read that scripture and literally reverse it. He is not the work of human hands. He has a mouth and speaks, eyes and sees, ears and hears, a nose and smells, hands and feels, feet and walks, and all who trust in Jesus will become like him. The truth that allows us to trust in Jesus should encourage us even when we don't understand, because we know that he is real. We know that as we place our thoughts, our hearts, our prayers, and we give it over to him, it's in his hands, which his plans, their thoughts are greater than ours. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 is a great reminder of this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Jesus, in all his wisdom, knew that we both need to be taught and encouraged to always pray, because we are fickle beings who falter when life is not easy for us. He knew that we can't or won't always have our knees bent and our eyes closed in prayer. Now, times like this is very important, because it teaches us to humble ourselves before God. But the greater call that Jesus is calling for everyone is a mind and a heart that is kneeled before God, one that is always ready to turn to him in prayer and will not let the circumstances of life cause them to waver. Jesus stated in the text that his goal was for people was that they always pray and not lose heart. We often fail in prayer because we lose heart or we become discouraged when we don't see immediate results. We like to see immediate results. Like, I pray for something, I want God to show me that it's going to happen right away. We don't see immediate results, and then we give up or we no longer pray like we should. It's easy to lose heart in prayer because prayer is hard work. We often approach it too lightly. In Colossians 4, Paul, he praises a man because he's so persistent in prayer. And he sees that this man, the scripture says, he's always laboring in prayers. Paul knew that prayer was hard work that required passionate labor. A commentator by the name of Morrison says, prayer is difficult because it takes three parts of a human being to engage in it. The three parts are, one, the understanding by which we work intelligently, the heart by which we labor willingly, and third, the will by which we labor stubbornly. Persistent prayer helps steer us true north regarding how God feels about us and our situation. Unfortunately, for many of us, prayer is like an emergency bandit that we only go when we're lost in the woods of life, and we pull it out like this compass that's supposed to pull us out of our mess. But it's easy to see why we lose heart when we are not convinced in our minds and our hearts and our wills of the power of prayer. Especially when prayer becomes a last choice instead of a first source. Prayer is what we're supposed to go to before a situation happened. We're supposed to be in prayer before anything bad or good happened. We're in constant communication with God. That way, when the trials come, it's easily continuing that. And I'm going to turn it over to God because I'm used to being in constant communication with Him. So why would I turn to anything else? We have to get in the habit of persevering and persistence in prayer because it's simply making time to be with God, whether that's in the car while our kids are yelling, their sibling is looking at them. That happens to me all the time. And you're just crying to God to give you strength to make it to your next destination. If it's when you take in time before a meal, before bed, in your personal devotion, as you see a homeless person on the corner, is when you are desperate for him to part the clouds in your life so you can see the sun. We must take, as the scripture said earlier, every opportune moment to create a life that makes time to acknowledge, thank, worship, praise, and beseech the Father and Son in prayer. We make time for our spouses, our children, grandchildren, hobbies, jobs, side hustles, and our friends. So why don't we take the necessary time to go to the one who has the power to aid us, who designed us to be less stressful as we go to him in prayer? We have to make prayer and persistence in it a necessity. Even in difficult times, such as we have been facing the last few years, we must continue to pray persistently, trusting God always listens. He knows our needs. He has a plan, and he's waiting for us to reap this reward of our faithfulness. But it's going to happen in his way, in his time, for his glory, but it's going to be for our good. We must therefore not lose heart in prayer and persevere and persist in it. Give unrelenting care to it and let it push us forward to carry out, to love one another like the scripture shows us. Let persistent prayer teaches us to be devoted to one another, to be devoted to this ministry here at Antioch. No matter what that's going to look like, as we stay devoted and give his priorities our attention, he's going to take care of the rest. Even if that means we're going to struggle month to month and he's going to give us our daily bread. We got to persist in staying in communication with him. Amen, Antioch? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your ways are higher than ours, Lord. Your thoughts are higher than ours, Lord. Because we could not design ourselves. We can't make our next step without you, and I make right decisions every day. But we know as we go to you in the spirit, it says you are the source of every action, emotion, desire. Give us the heart of your son, Jesus, Lord, that he say, I must do my Father's will above all else. Let us constantly humble ourselves before you and not let our will be done, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen.